Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn together to Psalm 139 in the front part of our hymnals. And today we will actually read Psalm 139, verses 1 through 10, responsively by half verse. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 10, read responsively by half verse. O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
You know where I sit down, and where I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You search out my path and my lying down. Even before a word is on my tongue, you hem me in behind and before. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Where shall I go from your spirit? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning,
and dwell in the stars,
even there your hand shall lead me,
and your right hand shall hold me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is recorded in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3. The young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. The epistle is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both, one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. According to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, just a wonderful chapter of the epistle. And Paul writes, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." Dear Christians, you are not your own, Paul writes. The Corinthians had forgotten that. The Christians in the ancient city of Corinth at the south end of Greece had forgotten that they were not their own, that their bodies were not their own, that their lives were not their own. They had forgotten that they had been bought with a price, that they belonged to the Lord, body and soul. There are many today who think the same way. And for most of them, they just don't know any better. They have been taught that they are, in fact, their own, that they are self-governing individuals, able to determine themselves everything from what is true, what is right, and even what gender they are. They have been taught that their bodies are their own to do with as they please, that their lives are their own, and they don't have to answer to anyone about how they live their lives or if and when they choose to end them. And so the devil's lie that infected the Corinthian congregation is still popular yet today. My body, my choice. My body, my life, my choice. My body, my life, my rights. Those slogans have been used to defend and justify everything from abortion to cremation, from euthanasia to physician-assisted suicide, from homosexuality to gender transition, from refusing to wear a mask to declining to receive the COVID-19 vaccination. But the root problem is the same. We think that we are our own, that our bodies are our own, that our lives are our own. And therefore, we can do whatever we want to do with our bodies, whenever we want, with whomever we want. Now, I think we can understand how unbelievers would think and act that way. You can understand how those who do not believe that God created them, that He gave them their body and soul, eyes, ears, and all their members, their reason, and all of their senses, you can understand how they might buy into the slogan, "My body, my life, my choice." You can understand how unbelievers who reject God's word would think that they are their own. I mean, if you don't believe that God has made you, that He has a will and a purpose for your life, and that you are accountable to Him for what you do with your body, you're not going to care what God says or wills or commands. People like that insist that they can't be judged because they are their own judges. In reality, they have become their own gods. But why would Christians think and act that way? That's the puzzle, isn't it? You know, for the Corinthians, it was a misunderstanding of the Christian faith. Well, they had heard the gospel. They believed in Jesus. They really did. They had been baptized into Him. They had received the gift and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They now fancied themselves as spiritual people with spiritual gifts, living spiritual lives. And so for them, the body no longer mattered. How they lived their lives in the body no longer mattered. They were spiritual now. They were spiritual beings. Theirs was a spiritual life. They were forgiven of their sins, filled with the Spirit and the spiritual life, so they believed they could do whatever they wanted with their bodies. Didn't matter anymore. They were no longer under the law, but under grace. And that's why they kept on saying to Paul, "All things are lawful for us,
That's why they didn't have a problem with a man from the congregation in Corinth having sexual relations with his stepmother. Ick factor 9. All things are lawful for us, they said. That's why they didn't think it was a big deal when Christians engaged the services of prostitutes. All things are lawful for us. That's why they didn't put any stock in the bodily resurrection of Jesus or in their own resurrection on the last day. Who cares what happens to your body when you die? That's why they had problems with the Lord's Supper. What's so beneficial about eating the body and drinking the blood of Jesus? That was the problem in Corinth. This kind of false hyper-spirituality that disregarded the body and paid no attention to how one lived life in the body. But what makes us think and act that way? What makes the modern church so accepting of sexual immorality? Why is the divorce rate for Christians just as high as it is for non-Christians? Why do some churches embrace homosexuality as a legitimate lifestyle and same-sex marriages as real marriages? Why do baptized children of God live together outside of marriage while their family members pressure their pastors to oppose it? Or when pastors like Eli fail to restrain the children of God from doing such things? Why do abortion, euthanasia, and physician-assisted suicide find a sympathetic hearing among the members of the church? Why don't Christians ever question whether cremation is the proper way to deal with the lifeless bodies of our loved ones? Why do we find more comfort in the fact that their souls are in heaven than we do with the promise that their bodies will be raised from the dead on the last day? We have forgotten what we have been taught, or we simply haven't been taught it. We have been deceived by the devil, sucked in by society, to believe that we are our own, to embrace the slogan, my body, my life, my choice. But Paul sets the Corinthians and us straight, and he doesn't do it by laying down the law. Paul could have resorted to the sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Certainly could have done that. That would have been a legitimate move. But instead, Paul simply reminds us who we are and whose we are. Paul lavishes the gospel on us, and then he spells out for us what that means for our bodies, what that means for the lives that we live in our bodies. And so Paul writes, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? The Corinthians should have known that. We should know that. Your body is not your own. It's part of Christ's body. And what you do with your body, you do as one who is a member of Christ's body. And as a member of Christ's sinless body, you are called to no longer use your body to sin. Your body has been redeemed to be an instrument of righteousness, not a slave to sin, to do only those things that Jesus did or does with his body. Then Paul writes, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? The Corinthians should have known that. We should know that too. You know, last week we heard how God gave us his Holy Spirit in holy baptism, how we were born again of water and of the Spirit, how the Holy Spirit was poured out upon us and made us new creations to live new lives in Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in your body, Paul says, not just in your heart. He lives in your body. He lives through your body. As a temple of the Holy Spirit, your body has been made holy. It has been set apart to do holy things, to work hard, loving and serving your neighbor, to be a place of prayer and praise to God, to be a sounding board to others of Jesus and his saving work. And then Paul drives the final argument home. Paul says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You are not your own, not only because God created you. You are not your own because Jesus redeemed you. Jesus paid the price to make you his, to make you his very own, to make you his prized possession. When you were baptized, when you were made a member of the body of Christ, when you were filled with the Holy Spirit and became his temple, these words were spoken: receive the sign of the Holy Cross upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. And how is it that Jesus redeemed your body and your soul? What is the price that he paid to make you his forevermore? It was his own sinless body. It was his holy, precious blood. Jesus did something with his body that has saved your body. The body that you thought was your own. The body with which you lived your life doing what you wanted, when you wanted, with whomever you wanted. He bore your sins, the sins you've done with your body. He bore your sins in his own body on the tree, gave it into death, offered it to God as the sacrifice to atone for your sin. He is indeed the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world and who takes away your sin again today. In a little while, into your body, created by God, redeemed by Jesus, inhabited by the Spirit, into your body will go the sinless body and the holy, precious blood of Jesus. You will eat that sinless body that Jesus gave as the price to make you his. You will drink that holy blood that Jesus poured out to make you holy. And you leave here today not just knowing, but rejoicing that you are not your own. That's not an oppressive thing. That's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. You leave here today to live your life and to use your body in a way that glorifies God the Father who created your body, God the Son who redeemed your body, and God the Holy Spirit who by holy baptism sanctified your body to be his temple. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In our prayers this morning, we pray for the sick and hospitalized whose names appear on our prayer list. And today we pray by name for our members, Dave Schrader, Gary Umfenauer, Marie Anders, Dick Dale, Ruth Hank, Don Powell, and Bob Carlson. Also our neighbors, Mark Sunkel, who is the brother of Linda Pollard, Judy Barrett, who is the friend of Mary Burmeister and Cindy Robbins, and Margot Toma, who is Bill and Kathy Toma's sister-in-law. We pray for Betsy Perkins, Austin Walls, Sharon Klepp, and Susan Meal, who are all celebrating birthdays this week, and for any others I might have missed. We pray for the family of Bob Cook, our brother in Christ, who fell asleep in Jesus this past Tuesday and will receive Christian burial tomorrow. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For our nation, that the Lord would bless President-elect Biden as he is inaugurated this week and assumes the office of the President of the United States, that the Lord would make him noble in purpose and cause him and his administration to pursue only those policies that are good for our nation and will enable us to continue to live as a free and prosperous people. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who serve as firefighters and first responders, that the Lord would watch over them as they keep watch over our communities, and that he would keep them safe as they put themselves in danger to help and rescue us. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick and injured, especially Dave, Gary, Marie, Dick, Ruth, Don, Bob, Mark, Judy, Margot, and all who are named on our prayer list, that the Lord who created their bodies and bought them at the price of his own sinless body would bring healing and strength to their bodies and comfort them with the promise of a resurrected and glorified body on the last day. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Betsy, Austin, Sharon, Susan, and all who are celebrating birthdays, that the Lord would be praised for giving them life and for preserving their lives, and that the Lord would fill them with joy and peace in knowing that they have been born again as children of God and heirs of life everlasting. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Bob's family and friends, that the Lord would comfort them in this time of sorrow and make them ever mindful of his promise. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the unbelieving and the unbaptized, that the Lord would help us to proclaim him as the Messiah and Savior to those who do not know him, that they might come and see and taste that the Lord is good and that his mercy endures forever. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Emmanuel Congregation, that the Lord would give them a pastor who will testify to the Lord Jesus, that they might be strengthened in their faith and made confident in their conviction that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Trinity Lutheran School, that the Lord, through the teaching of his Spirit-inspired and Spirit-filled word, would pour out his Spirit upon our students and their families, that they might trust in Jesus, be made temples of the Holy Spirit, and live lives that glorify our gracious God. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.